Perea defend his title against Israel Adesanya in what amounts to their fourth fight. Is Israel going to go 0-4 against Alex, or will he finally get a legacy-defining victory? In the co-main event, we have got Gilbert Burns facing Jorge Masvidal, who improbably can insert himself back into the welterweight title picture with a victory. We're going to take a look at the rest of the card as well. Before we get to the combat sports, though, y'all know what time it is. Grab your stash, fire that shit up. Let's get into the weed of the week. Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA. This is episode number 163. I'm Jared here with Paul.
What up?
Today, we're going to be taking a deep dive into UFC 287, which sees Alex. Smoke weed every day. What are we smoking on today?
So today, we are smoking on some sugar cookie. So this one's going to come in at a nice 22% THC. It is a hybrid made from Crystal Gale, Blue Hawaiian, and Sensei Star.
What was that first one?
Crystal Gale.
Crystal Gale. I've not heard of that before.
Yeah. Neither have I.
That's interesting. Who grew this?
This one is, it's like a dispensary down the road.
Nevada made?
Yeah.
That's a decent little place.
Oh, wait, it's made by Clear River.
Clear River.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a few new strain, not strain growers, but a few new weed companies into the market lately. I haven't had a chance to try them all, so looking forward to these. This one tastes pretty good out of the bong. Looking forward to this joint right here.
You want to light this trick?
Yeah, dude, for sure. We want to thank our sponsor for the weed of the week, which is Binoid. You can get great deals on Binoid CBD products and their Delta-9 THC products derived from hemp. While supplies are lasting, while it's still currently legal, laws could possibly be changing there, but the CBD will always be good to go. Go to our website, SWATMMA.com, click on the Cool Stuff button, follow the links, or there's links in the description below wherever you might be viewing or listening to us. Let's fire this shit up, and let's take a look at this UFC 287 card, Paul. I guess kind of a big deal here for Israel.
This is a career-defining moment if you're Israel Adesanya.
We've got a lot of other exciting fights on the card, too, but it's clear what the major storyline here is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This is, you know, a huge, huge, I guess you call it a rematch in MMA, but this is now their fourth fight. This is huge. Like I said, I mean, I think Israel, if he loses this fight, I don't really know where he goes from here. If he were to win, I don't necessarily see them fighting a third time.
But he's not going to want to risk that.
I think Piera would probably end up moving up to light heavyweight.
Yeah, you know, statistically, they're the same size on paper, but Alex is a way bigger guy. And, this is, I think, pivotal for Israel's, not his legacy is intact as the second greatest middleweight of all time, I would say at this point.
Well, I feel like the opportunity to become the greatest middleweight of all time is still on the table if you win this fight. If you were to lose, it takes it completely off.
Yeah, he can't. The thing is, this really odd about this is that they've faced each other for about, I think it's around 38 minutes of actual combat time.
Yeah.
And Israel Adesanya has probably won 34, 35 minutes of that time.
Yeah, probably. But the thing is about Alex Pereira is he has the ultimate equalizer, bro. He has that ridiculous power that so few fighters really carry. But when they do, it doesn't really matter how much you beat them. Like kind of like Deontay Wilder, and he kind of has a similar body style to him. You know, it's like real lanky, strong, just like throwing bombs, dude. He just throws bombs, and that's really what it is. And that carries all the way through the fight. And so you have to fight him perfect, and I think that's just a hard...
And his size and strength is a thing that further affects Israel if he loses here, because one of his options would be to go back and try again at 205, but he faces the real possibility of what would then be his legit boogeyman following him right up to 205 as well. Mm-hmm. And he can't go to 170. So,
no. I mean, maybe, but
Even if he went to 170, I don't think I don't think it'd be possible for him.
God, dude, I took that vape pen earlier. It just murdered my lungs. Good God.
Oh, Lord.
Jeez.
Well, let's kind of dive into, like, the... What way do you think... What path of victory do you really feel like Izzy has it?
I don't know. I mean, look at what we just saw happen with Leon Edwards and Kamaru Usman. This is an example of a champion who was in a similar situation. Well, not a similar situation, but he's with a fighter that he's got a lot of rounds with, and that he should beat on paper, that he's won the majority of the rounds that he's faced him, right?
And he also
and then in the last minute of that second fight, of course, he gets KO'd after winning all four rounds prior to that in most people's eyes.
Yeah.
But then he comes back after that vicious KO, and he's just tentative. He's hesitant, he's tentative. You can't deny it, you know. Israel's had that happen back-to-back times. I think the first time maybe he didn't have it because he could write it off in his head. That was kickboxing. It's different. Now it's MMA. This is my world. And then what happens? He goes out and the exact same shit happens. I don't care how strong you are mentally. That's got to fuck with you. And
He hasn't took a lot of time off either.
No. And it's got to play into it more than others because it seems like the kickboxing wins have been more validated now.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think it just speaks to Perez's freaking ability and how much of just like a freak he is. I mean, it really looked like in every way that Izzy was winning that first fight in MMA, where he was taking him down, he was controlling most of the striking exchanges. He almost stops him in the first or the end of the second. Is literally has him just fucking. Same thing happened in kickboxing too. He just had him. Days and done, and then ran out of time. Same thing happened there. Days done, ran out of time. Let him come back, and like I said, that power just carries throughout all 25 minutes. It's not. What are you supposed to do? You have to literally fight perfect. Like I said, you know, it's kind of like what Tyson Fury faced when he fought Deontay Wilder. That first fight, he had to fight perfect to get out of there. You know what I mean? And that's what Izzy has to do. He has to go out and fight this fight perfect. There's no other way to win it.
And I don't know if he, I think trading with Alex is a mistake for him. And I don't think his wrestling's strong enough to really lean on it. Surprisingly, if you look at the stats, now to be fair, Israel has a lot more MMA fights. So his stats are a little bit more pure, so to speak, than looking at Pereira's who only got 8. But I mean, Pereira beats him in all the statistical matchups. I mean, he lands more strikes per minute. He's more accurate. His defense is slightly higher. His grappling is better. His takedown accuracy is better. His takedown defense is 3 points less.
I think that's where the stats lie.
These are skewered stats here because he has such a small number of bouts. So I'm just putting that as a caveat in there. But it's not like Izzy can just tool him up on the feet here. He keeps trying to do that and he gets knocked out now twice.
Yeah.
So. I'm very curious. I mean, the odds makers are picking Adesanya here to get his title back.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I haven't seen any how he beats him yet. I don't know if his ego lets him do what he can do for 5 rounds.
I think it goes back to also what we saw in the Leon fight is I think this time around, like you said, he's going to be more tentative, and I don't think he's going to have that championship-level confidence that he once had. And it's something we were talking about before even the Leon and Usman fight. You texted me about how all the champions, when they don't take time off, they don't get a fight in between a rematch, they lose. It was like, yeah, what, like 3-12 now, right?
Yeah, 3-11 before the Usman fight.
Now 3-12.
Champions trying to regain their title in immediate rematches. Mm-hmm. So the odds are stacked against Israel Adesanya here because this is an immediate rematch here.
Yep.
And he'll be the fourth fighter to ever do it.
And what, it was like 5 months ago he got knocked out by him? It wasn't that long ago.
So I'm leaning towards Alex Pereira doing it again and really putting a stamp on this thing.
Think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. My heart wants Izzy to win. I like Izzy as a fighter, but my brain is like, I just don't see him being able to fight just like perfect for five rounds against a guy like Pereira.
And I don't think he can knock him out. I think he risks getting fucked up if he tries that.
I think he shook him in that
first round. I mean, I don't mean he's not capable of it. I mean, I think it's too risky to go out there and just start winging.
It's risky, but I think it's also it's a risk reward. I think it's the worst and best way you can beat him. Is you have to do it. You got to put him to sleep. You know what I mean? That's how you beat him. Because the longer you're in there with him, the better chance he has of settling in and landing his big shots. So you got to take him out. So I think if I'm Izzy, I'm the exact opposite of tentative. I'm pushing the pace from the bell and seeing how he responds. Because you've been knocked. That's the other side of also being like, he didn't get knocked out cold by Pereira. It was a TKO. It was a standing TKO. It's not quite as... Yeah, but as
he would have been he murdered would have,
yeah, no, I agree. With that I agree. Shot
if yeah, he yeah. hadn't been, in my opinion. Yeah, the way no. his head was down and those knees
yeah. that
Pereira been...
No, and I agree. But I just mean, like, when we were comparing it to Usman and Edwards, right, Usman's tendency was because he got sent to Shadow Realm.
That's a good point.
Fucking, I see the way Izzy got knocked out. He knows he could have sent him there. But the referee did step in at the perfect time when he was right there.
Yeah.
So I do think that affects him a little differently. But yeah, I just feel if I'm Israel Adesanya, I gotta push the pace from the bell. I gotta take the fight to him.
The quick KO is probably his best bet. Go out and really put him away in like the first round.
Well, and we saw because. when he has fought other like power strikers like Paulo Costa is a perfect example in his career. When he took the fight to him is when Izzy had probably the best performance of his career. Izzy has a good, like, good game. It's when he tries to sit back and point fight is when he gets in trouble. Mm. He's not a point fighter. As much as he wants to, like, be and want to, like, talk about how technical and how great, because he is technical. He does have great strikes. He's good on the outside. But I feel like whenever we've seen his best knockouts, whether it be, like, the Robert Whittaker knockout, the Paulo Costa, it's when he pushes the pace and gets in those firefights and is, like, the one being the aggressor. Like, he still hits people with crazy, like, counters and stuff like that, but he's the one pushing the pace. He's the one pushing the fight forward. And when he almost knocked out Pereira, it was the same thing. It was an exchange that Izzy went after Pereira, and then the rest of the fight, it seemed like he just tried to beat him in other ways when in that first round he beat him in the way he was going to beat him. I think he just has to do the same thing.
I think that is his path to victory. It sounds like we're both ultimately picking Pereira.
Fuck it, I'm going with Izzy.
All right, we'll see.
I'm taking my boy. Well,
what about this wild co-main event? And I think it's wild just because I still don't really understand the shine that Masvidal is getting here.
The stakes are wild, that's for sure. Because I think...
The stakes are pretty wild because a title shot is at stake here, maybe for Masvidal. I don't know about
Burns. I think it could be Burns. Burns won four in a row since he lost to Chimaev. Or no, two in a row, sorry.
No, he's won against Magny.
I thought he also beat... Oh, Thompson was... I thought the Thompson fight was after Chimaev. No, that was
before.
Oh, yeah. But he's still... thing is with Gilbert Burns is he's a fucking top-level competitor.
Like, Gilbert Burns, look...
His name holds weight, I would say.
I'm just going to cut to the fucking chase here, dude. Gilbert Burns is going to walk all over George Masvidal, bro.
Think so?
Yes.
I would hope so.
What have we seen that would indicate otherwise from Maz? Like, his big three wins have not aged well whatsoever. They're in fact getting worse as time goes on. Every day they're a little bit worse. And I'm talking about Till, Askren, and Diaz. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's very true. I've never really thought about it that way.
I mean, Till's like I won't even see a sniff a title for 2 to 3 years. I'm going to boxing. He's not in the UFC. Askren's talking about, I got no hips. I can't beat Logan Paul or Jake Paul, whoever the fuck he fucking fought.
And then Nate's Diaz, fighting I Logan love Paul. Him.
But Nate's like apparently chasing some Logan Paul nonsense and like would have been murked if he'd fought Chimaev, as we damn well know. But, you know, God bless him. He went out like a G, whooped up on Ferguson. But he's not. No.
And Neil Magny's a tough, like, he's a tough guy. And I feel like that's, like, why George Masvidal just doesn't have the, like, quality of opponents. Like, I don't think Magny would lose to George Masvidal. I think Magny probably beats
Masvidal. No, I mean, you could say, oh, look, he's been in there with Usman for back-to-back fights in Covington. Yeah, and he got his ass handed to him.
Burns dropped Usman.
They weren't even fucking competitive.
Yeah, and Burns dropped Usman, almost finished him, and Usman came back and had, like, a good victory. But, like, I just feel like what Burns has done to his opponents who are better fighters, in my opinion, just doesn't even equate to what George Masvidal has on his on his resume.
The stats, the resume, I don't see where Masvidal beats him here. I just don't.
I'd say the only place he beats him is if Burns tries to get a little crazy on the feet. But he's got a chin. He took big shots from Chimaev and didn't go out. So
yeah, you're going to tell me that. I mean, dude, we're not dick riders on fucking Chimaev here. So, I don't like that dude. You're going to tell me that George Masvidal hits harder than fucking Chimaev? There's no way.
No way.
Chimaev is a young lion, dude. That guy's a guy. You can't deny he's strong as a goddamn ox. I bet he hits hard as fuck, dude.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no way Masvidal's old ass. He's about to turn 40. This is what, his 52nd fucking fight?
Yeah. And this is the only one he needs to win, though, because honestly, as much as it sucks, I think, and how much of it's just like a cash grab for the UFC, I think that they would give George Masvidal a title shot off of winning
the UFC. They will, because of the three-piece Minnesota shit.
Yeah, three-piece Minnesota, all the backstory with him and Edwards. This is like the most pivotal fight of George Masvidal's career. I think either he wins this or he's done. Like, will he retire? I don't think so, but I just mean, like, title-wise. You can't give him a title shot when a guy who's lost four of his last five, you know? It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Yeah. It makes less sense than people are talking about Colby.
Yeah,
I don't get this. They're like, Colby doesn't make any sense because it's been a year since he beat Masvidal.
Yeah.
But if fucking Burns beats Masvidal, who hasn't fought since Colby either, then suddenly he gets a title shot. But I thought my win over Masvidal wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
It's the freshness of the win. But Masvidal hasn't been doing anything since then. So how is that relevant?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Whatever. But no, I don't see it happening. He's not beating Gilbert Burns.
Mm-mm. No.
So, and you're right. He's... Kudos to him for making the most out of it. I just lost a lot of respect for that dude. You don't have to be a fan of Colby Covington to think it's some pussy-ass shit to put on a mask and a hoodie and run up on somebody who's walking out of a goddamn restaurant after drinking and eating steak, dude.
Yeah.
In the middle of fucking Miami trying to look like a pimp.
Yeah.
You know? You know how Colby is. He's trying to be the center of attention. He's not fucking like... Like, when I go places, just with my background, and I'm always, like, careful.
Yeah.
Like, Colby wasn't being... He was out with the Nelk boys, whoever the fuck he was with. Yeah. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan anymore, and I think this is his last hurrah.
So let's dive into some other fights on the card as well.
Dude, there's some fucking little shining nuggets on here, man.
Yeah. I really like that Kevin Holland Santiago Ponzinibbio fight.
Yeah, that's a good fight for Holland, man. He's fighting the guy. As long as he can avoid getting his eyes poked, then he's probably not going to have to wrestle much
here. Yeah. You know what? And I feel like, after his last fight against Wonder Boy, a lot of people will be giving him shit for, not doing any of the wrestling. Like, this is a good matchup for him. Like, I think Ponzinibbio is a good opponent, and it's like, still what he wants to do. They're going to stay on the feet. They're going to slug this shit out.
The odds makers are looking, at a Holland victory here. If you look at BetMGM, which, he's minus 275. Jesus, it's almost 3-1.
That might even be a... I don't know. What's Ponzinibbio?
He is plus 210 if we're just doing over the MGM where I like to bet.
Okay. I wouldn't mind that. I mean, it's not the most far-fetched idea.
As a bet, it's not bad.
Really. Yeah. What
about...
Go ahead. Another good one I like is Kelvin Gastelum taking on Chris Curtis.
That's a banger.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a banger. It's a middleweight bout. Chris Curtis is tough, man. He's looked good lately.
Yeah.
He's got some fucking hands.
Well, and the thing is, too, is like he's kind of a part of that group of guys that is trying to fight their way into into the rankings. You know, he's like, he should be ranked, but like he's like 16th of 50. You know what I mean? Like he's trying to shoot himself into the conversation. And I think Gaslam's had a couple weird years, man. I don't really know where he's at anymore. Like, I don't necessarily know what he's been doing this whole time, you know?
No, me neither. I mean, I wouldn't feel comfortable betting on him. The odds makers have it as basically a toss-up, leaning slightly towards Gaslam. You know, Curtis is coming in around plus 110, Gaslam around minus 125.
Yeah.
It's basically close to even.
And then probably in the most talent-ridden division in the UFC, at bantamweight, we got Rob Font taking on Adrian Yanez, which is, that's a huge fight for Yanez if he wins, bro.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. It's Rob Font's an underdog. He's plus 150.
Dude, Yanez is good, bro. He's one of those guys who calls his shot and just goes out there and throws caution to the wind and fucking puts people to sleep.
That could
be
dangerous with fucking Rob Font. The Rob Font.
Yeah, fight, but look what man. Cheeto Vera did to Rob Font.
Cheeto was streaking to at Rob the time. Font.
He was like, I feel like that's a very similar game plan that Yanez has to freaking go after, because Font is really good if you let him get into like a rhythm. You know, he's part of those guys up in like New England area that they all like have a really solid like rhythm when it comes to their striking. They're constantly throwing combos, stuff like that. So you have to beat him to it. And I feel like that's why this is a really good fight for him. I think this is like a coming out party for Yanez. Not to mention, like, this crowd this weekend is probably going to be fucking lit. It's Miami. In Miami, we got Masvidal and shit on the card. Like, the crowd is going to be fucking nuts.
Is he still a big draw that everybody says he is?
I don't really necessarily think he's a big draw, but I think he's a big live draw. Like draw as far as like pay-per-views, not necessarily. I don't really think ever really considered him one, but like we're talking like a live gate, like that crowd's gonna be packed for sure.
Yeah. What about Chiesa versus Li Jingliang?
That one's the one that got canceled. Jingliang fucking backed out.
Yeah, that's a bummer. They were talking about putting Kevin Lee in because you know he re-signed with the UFC suddenly. Mm-hmm.
I know. I don't really understand why they released him if they were just going to re-sign him after he fought one fight outside of the UFC.
Yeah, I don't know either. That was weird.
And his one win was Diego Eagle Sanchez. FC. Yeah, and it was Diego Sanchez.
No, he proved himself by whooping up on the guy who just washed.
And
out
he didn't really whoop him. It was a close fight.
Fucking ridiculous. We got Michelle Watterson now. Michelle Watterson Gomez showing back up on the card. She's had a tough run here at strawweight. You know,
yeah.
It's unfortunate for her career that there was not an atomweight division in the UFC, which is really where she belongs.
Yeah, I agree.
But you know, we'll see. Nero's tough. I don't know. I just haven't been big on Watterson lately. In her fight, she doesn't to me look like she's going anywhere. Upwards. Sorry to say.
He said anywhere. Upwards. Yeah, so I think that about rounds it out, though.
Cynthia Cavillo showing up on the card. Yeah. We've got Gerald Meerschaert on this card. We've got Chase Sherman on this card. You know, a lot of guys who can be fun to watch. Ladies who can be fun to watch. We'll see what happens. But ultimately, I think it's going to wind up being the sad fourth defeat of Israel Adesanya is going to be the defining storyline coming out of this, as well as Masvidal. You're going to see two shining stars kind of take a hit.
They're on the cover of UFC 4 together. Taking a hit. Is it the UFC curse? UFC cover curse? That's what happened, bro. Conor lost to fucking Khabib when he was on the cover. Ronda used to be on the cover. She lost.
This shit's like the Sports Illustrated curse. Remember that shit in football?
The same thing in Madden. Too. Madden, anybody's on the cover in Madden, they have like the worst year of their lives after.
There's a Wheaties curse too, if your name is fucking Pettis. Dude, well, let's talk about that for a second.
He's the greatest boxer of all time.
Past weekend, fucking Anthony Pettis beat Roy Jones Jr. at George Masvidal's Game Bread Boxing 4.
Yeah.
In a pretty lackluster fight, but okay.
Took it to
I'm pretty shocked. I mean, I was texting people like, dude, Roy Jones is going to tool this motherfucker up. It's an 0-0 boxer. versus Roy Jones Jr. I know he's 54, but come on.
Yeah, but right. Pettis is not like at the greatest spot of his career either. You know,
he's
mean?
Like, oh, but
like both of them are like, well, obviously Roy's a lot older than he's probably what at least 15 years older than Andy.
Yeah, he's 54 to I think Pettis is about around 40-ish.
Yeah, he's got to be like 40, 38, somewhere 39, something like that. Yeah. But
it's more of a
I didn't think it was like it had its moments. Like
it's more of a commentary on the fact that Roy Jones is in his mid-50s.
Yeah.
Is the story coming out of there. Not that Anthony Pettis is a wizard in the boxing.
Some people just can hold on to it like their whole lives. Like fucking Bernard Hopkins, dude. He was what?
Yeah.
51 when he won his last title.
You should be able to beat 0-0 MMA fighters, Roy. Or you should stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
True. I agree, yeah. It wasn't like bad though. It's like Roy had like a bad showing. A lot of one of the judges actually had his draw. It was like one of those fights where both guys you could tell weren't pushing the pace too much. It was like a lot of rounds were getting won by like moments inside the round rather than like dominance. You know, it'd be like they gave Pettis the first round, and the first round was like a real feeling out process.
Yeah,
Pettis,
it was
Pettis hit him with like three body shots, and they gave him the fucking round for it.
Yeah, and Roy did have some jabs land in that round one, but whatever.
Yeah.
What about this Jose Aldo, Jeremy Lil Heathen Stevens draw?
Yeah.
Four rounder novice boxers.
I don't know, dude. I think it's actually six, that one.
That was six round. I'm sorry. Yeah. 60-minute rounds.
I thought it was a much better showing for Jeremy Stevens because, like,
yeah.
We've always known Stevens had good hands, but he's like, nah, it carries over to boxing, too. Like, if Aldo couldn't fucking take
it. Yeah, he had good MMA hands. He didn't have anything where you look at him and be like, oh, he's going to be a good boxer.
Yeah. And not to say Jose Aldo's the greatest boxer either, but he's.
People seem to think that he could translate better than he did. He didn't look as well as I think he would have liked. Certainly, you can't be talking about Mayweather now. You get a draw against Jeremy Stevens, you don't need to be giving there with
Mayweather.
I think
Jeremy Stevens
ass.
Should try to fight Mayweather. Mayweather's fighting everybody. So anybody, I would just be like, remember,
YouTubers.
You were going to fight fucking Aldo. Fight me instead.
Right. Connor tried to chime in there. Aldo got butt hurt.
I'm sure
at least online.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That card overall, though, like, after you've
dude,
seen...
Dude, Jacare got fucked up.
Hmm?
Jacare got fucked up by Vitor.
Well, of course. Jacare, what is he known for?
Yeah,
his fucking
true.
Jiu-jitsu. Why is he in a boxing ring with
Vitor?
Dude,
I think he knocked him down three times in one round.
Yeah, the last round he did. It was a 10-7.
Yeah.
For the round.
I think it was fifth.
Yeah.
The second to last. But yeah. Dude, Vitor is fucking racking it up, dude. He doesn't give a fuck. Honestly, I'd rather see him and Anderson now. Have him and Anderson run a boxing match. That'd be cool.
And
they're just going
to
keep doing this thing,
fucking
you know?
Ball.
Yeah, but if they're going to keep doing this, they're going to keep doing it, go for it.
Yeah.
Or Vitor versus Jake Paul. I'll watch
but
that.
Here's my thoughts, and I'll wrap it with this, and I'd like to hear your response. But I think that card, before I saw it and afterward, I have the same opinion. It was worth about $19.99, bro.
Yeah.
$50 is crazy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy it for that. If I bought it for that, I'd have been mad. If I paid $20 and that's what we got, I'd have been cool.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Whatever. Kudos to George for getting some shit going, though, for real.
And I really think that what was cool about it, something that Roy had brought up in the press conference before, that this card wasn't really about, like, creating legends or creating anybody's boxing career. What it was to show, he said, to show the boxing community that there's even these MMA guys are willing to put their records on the line to maybe like get something going. And that
yeah.
a lot of these guys in boxing right now are like dodging each other and not trying to fight the best of the best. And now that you're going to have other guys who are going to come from other places like the UFC and other like MMA promotions. And they're going to steal some of your fights because you're like
mm-hmm.
Francis is a perfect example. Francis is going to come in and steal a title shot that someone else may be able to get because these motherfuckers just won't fight each other.
What do you think about the irony of Jose Aldo not re-signing with the UFC when he could have, going in boxing in George Masvidal's game-bred boxing, and then in a press conference saying that he thinks Francis Ngannou made a mistake leaving the UFC yeah. and trying to box. Not some washed up, sorry, Jeremy, MMA fighter, mm-hmm. but the best of the best on the planet in a massive fucking pay-per-view. Don't you think that's a little ironic?
He's going to try to do that next. He's going to try to fucking fight Floyd.
Yeah, this is the guy who's calling out Floyd. Like, wait a minute, dude. Like, you're literally doing the same shit. You just...
hypocritical.
You didn't get a big fat offer from the UFC and weren't the champ at the time. That's the only difference.
This is really the only difference, yeah. That's funny as fuck.
I found that amusing, but anyways. I think that about wraps the show for today.
Yep.
I'll pass this joint over to you. Remind everybody again that please, if you want to support the podcast at all, which we appreciate, you just... follow the links for both Binoid CBD as well as the UFC store. Any purchases you make off of those help us out. Where can they find those links at, Paul?
SWATMA.com, or they can head over there, click the gear button, buy a t-shirt, support the podcast. Then they head over to Instagram and follow us at SWATMA Podcast.
Thanks, everybody. Peace. Later.